Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Bart.
Final hour here on the final, well, can't say that now. Welcome to the 1st of April, everyone, as we have now passed a quarter of the year, the 2019. Tom, I know you're a busy man with Sports Garden Network, Monday through Fridays, TomBartonSports.com. You have a family. You save. You're saving the earth every day as well. You got a lot of things going on, but Tuesday night, can you get out to the movie theater and go watch Karate Kid on the big screen for the 35th anniversary? You got to do it, man.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get out Tuesday night, but I'll rent it, you know, on my big screen at my house to just kind of give it the old, hey, you know, show it off to the new generation and go, this is what Karate Kid is really supposed to be.
Tommy Jr., this is what it is right here. This is a real hero right here.
Yes. Then he'll be going around crane kicking everybody.
You're right.
Thrown out of school.
Get a call from the school. You need to come down and handle it, right?
Well, I see Ralph Macchio all the time. He actually is lives like a town over.
Really?
So, yeah.
I did not know that.
He's I've seen him for 20 years, basically, kind of just here and there. And everybody seems to love him. He's a really good guy.
Wow. Well, anybody listening that's a fan of Karate Kid, it's on the big screen Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at, I believe it's the, here in town, it's the Cinemark Theaters. So you can go check that out. There's nothing, and that's a good point you brought up about watching it at home, because Ari and myself had talked about this earlier. Is it the same, Tom?
Love a movie theater, man. Right. I love a movie theater, but I'll tell you this, less and less am I going, not because of the family and everything else. Because I just, I rate movies now. This is how I rate movies. People go, hey, how was that movie? Here's how I rate them. Oh, man, it wasted my 2 hours. Okay. I'm upset that I paid $5.99 on TV, right? Or, you know, hey, it was worth the $20 to go to the movie theater. But it was so rare and far and few between that are just good enough that I feel, all right, let's go to the movies, spend $20, $25, $30 buying some stuff there, and I'm okay walking away and saying it was worth it. I'll just go, I'll just wait. I mean, you know how many times I see a movie come out on demand, and I go, I'll wait till it gets on HBO, because it's not even worth my $6.
In a case like this, though, if you had the time, it would be worth it.
I would go to something like this. Yeah, this is a good one. It's got to be a movie that I know I'm going to feel okay with. Yeah, I know I'm going to walk out of the theater and go, that was a cool experience. Yeah, I'll go for that. You know what they're going to have? See, I live in beach town my whole life, and they have movies on the beach. They're going to have Karate Kid on the beach this summer. So I'll do that. That's cool.
I'll need picture proof of that one, Tom.
Yeah, that's something I'll go to. You know, Cotter's going. That's something I'll go to.
Let's talk a little NBA, and before we start, just what is it? 6 games left, pretty much. It looks like for most teams till the end of the regular season, and we can look at some of the potential, not only the playoff matchups, but what you feel going into the playoffs versus what we thought about at midseason just a couple months ago. But I need to give you props again, Tom, because when we did our NBA, actually it wasn't even the NBA preview show. It was when LeBron James had signed with the Lakers. We were talking about what this season would hold for the LA Lakers. And I think we were all in agreement that if everything went well, right, Tom, they could get to that 50-win mark and be a lower seed in the playoffs, maybe win a round, but get bounced out by one of the bigger teams in the second round. The opposite side of that was that you said if everything went wrong, all of a sudden a phantom injury would pop up, and you could see them shutting LeBron James down, because at that point, why not protect the investment? And plus, you know, with that ego, he doesn't want to be a part of a team that right now, Tom, is sitting 7 games under .500. Well, guess what? The Lakers shut down LeBron James for the rest of the regular season. So, Tom, hats off. You called that one.
Yeah, I got the under for Laker wins. And yeah, I said, listen, this is the first time we'll see. You know how much pushback I got that, by the way? You guys want to rip me apart for something tonight that I could rub in your face in 6 months? It's Tom Barton Sports. Over on Twitter, and you know, I got pushed back. Oh, he's never missed this many games. Listen, he wasn't there to play this year. He just wasn't. This is a placeholding year. We all knew it. He wasn't there to play this year. And guess who knew it more than anybody? LeBron. Mm-hmm. LeBron knew that this year meant nothing. He knew that. He knew that what is the better storyline? That LeBron squeaks into the playoffs and gets eliminated in the first round? Or how about this for the storyline? LeBron hurt all year, playing with a bunch of, you know, kids. The Lakers are done. We talk about how terrible they are. LeBron's legacy is over. But he comes back next year, and they're in the finals. I mean, that's the story he wants written. He wants that story written. And he knew that that was the story that was going to play out here. He knew that we'd all be bashing him. He's too old. He's lost a step. He knew that. And he also knows that next year, if he puts together, you know, a superstar team, which he's going to do, that they'll be right in the thick of things, and we're going to be praising him again. This was not a shock.
When I think he was feeling the season out, right, Tom? And when the deadline came, and they had a quote unquote opportunity to try to go get Anthony Davis, that right there, in LeBron's mind, that was the final factor on whether he would continue or not. When that fell through, he decided basically that was going to be it for him. If they would have went out and acquired Anthony Davis, all of a sudden, I'm healthy, I'm ready, I'm in the best shape of my career, and you would have seen LeBron be LeBron. Yes or no?
Absolutely. But again, here's the thing. He knows he can't beat Golden State. He knows that he can't beat them. He knows that. I can't beat Golden State. So why compete now, next year, when Kevin Durant is playing for New York Knicks, right? And it's only Curry again. Maybe now he could take down Golden State. What a story that would be. Lakers go from not making the playoffs and LeBron's old and broken down to an MVP season where he goes out there and slays the mighty Golden State Warriors to get to the finals. Doesn't that sound like a great story? I mean, this guy's in Hollywood to write stories. This is what he's doing now. He doesn't want to play basketball. He wants to write stories. That's the story he wrote in his head.
Well, I, for one, and I could care less what people think when I say that I will be thrilled to watch a playoffs without having to see his face drag out through June. And I don't care if you think that I'm not a fan or I don't recognize talent. I'm not a fan, number one. I'm not a fan of his. So that, just in my own personal self-worth, is good enough for me to say, Tom, I think you agree with me. I'm elated to know I will not have to see him play a basketball game in the playoffs this year.
Tim, you know how I feel about LeBron. Well, I have Brian Windhorst on with me on April 12th, who just wrote the LeBron book. Should be an interesting interview because I respect the book, of course, but I kind of disagree with everything about the man that is LeBron. So I'm going to have him on April 12th, and we'll get into some of this anti-LeBron stuff.
Tom, are you going to ask the tough questions, though? That's what I want to know.
Of course I do. There's nobody in this business that gets as eclectic of the interviews that I get. And I always ask the questions. We had bombshells launched onto us, not to get into a baseball segment, but bombshells launched this week. I got interviews before anybody else in the country. I actually met with Brian Kilmeade the night after I did the interview, and he was going to have the guy on Friday, and he had listened to the interview, and his producer said to me, "My God, wow, they really dropped some bombs on your show." So, listen, I'm going to ask the tough questions if they're warranted. I don't push a guest just for the sake of pushing a guest, but in this case with the LeBron thing, I just feel like we're going to have some differing opinions, so it'll be a good interview.
Let's look at the West. We got about, like I said, six games to go. Golden State with a slim one-game lead over Denver right now, Tom, for the top seed in the West. Looks like your top four are set in with, well, your three division winners, of course, in Golden State, Denver, Houston. Portland, Utah, the Clip Show, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City fighting it out for 7-8. Can I pat myself on the back now, Tom, and say San Antonio has a 7 seed this year? Am I allowed to do that?
You said it, and you said don't be surprised if they don't make it at all.
Yep. When you look at the West, are we headed towards another Golden State-Houston showdown, or do you think Denver can get through the playoffs to get in the finals?
No, I don't believe in Denver. I'd be scared of Portland, actually. I think Portland's the team that gives Houston the biggest run here. Nobody beats the Warriors, but I think Portland could surprise everybody. And I'll tell you, I don't think that they're a legit threat to move on, but the team I don't want to play in the first round is the Clippers. They've been playing some phenomenal basketball here. Nobody's paying attention to them, right? Because they know, look, well, they'll probably get Houston in the first round. But I don't want to see the Clippers at all right now. Not the way they're playing, not the way that they're streaking right now. They may have peaked, you know, maybe a week early, but it doesn't look like they're slowing down. And with only six games to go, I do not want to play the Clippers in the first round.
What keeps you off Denver? Just the fact that they haven't been there?
The fact that right now, okay, talk to a fringe NBA fan and ask them who's got the ball with you know, the last shot on Denver. Who's the guy? You know, and you don't know it. All right, no problem. Forget about who's the guy. Okay, they have a team mentality. That's fine. Can Denver dictate the pace? Because they have to. That's how Denver wins games. Can Denver dictate the pace in the playoffs on the road? And I don't think they can.
When it's all said and done, and this is before the matchups are announced, Tom, but I think we're in agreement. It's Golden State in the finals again, and they can get a lot of negative criticism because they didn't win 70 games this year, Tom. But, you know, it's basically going through the motions. They're still going to finish with 55 wins minimum, right? Still going to finish with a winning percentage close to 70. They still have home and away records well over 500. In division, own the division, right? Own the conference. It is what it is. It's Golden State.
It's Golden State. To be honest with you, if there is a Oklahoma City against Denver first round, I may see OKC facing Golden State. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think that the rest of the West breaks down. I know everybody's looking at it and going, well, Houston be a... I get it. I think Houston's vulnerable. To me, they're a freight train that just can't be. To think that they could lose four out of seven games at any time in the year is just a stretch. I just can't imagine it.
So over in the East, Milwaukee with 57 wins can clinch the top seed in the East and the best overall record in the NBA here this week. Toronto, 54 wins, is three games behind the Sixers. Then you got the Celtics, Pacers, Pistons, and then the Nets, Heat, and Magic. Outside shot, they're about a game, what is it, half a game from sneaking in and grabbing that eighth spot. But are we going 1-4 here as far as the Eastern Conference, or do you think Indiana can cause some ruffle, some feathers there?
No, I don't see Indiana being a real threat. I will tell you this, though. You got to give me some. I thought this was the credit you're going to give me. Before the year, TomBartonSports.com, I gave $2,000 bet to win $5,900 that the Nets would make the playoffs. Now, I'm still sweating it out with six games to go. Okay, they have the toughest week, the toughest last six games in the NBA, but hopefully they could make it. That's a team I don't want to play early on either. If Easters get a team like the Nets, that's going to be a matchup that the Nets can exploit. I don't think that they're going on and doing big things, but the Nets are a team that you don't want to play right now. 1-4. I don't believe in the Sixers. I just don't buy it. I see them. I watch what I see every night. I don't think they're mentally tough enough. If that is a deciding factor, then yeah, I don't believe in Milwaukee. Listen, I believed in Milwaukee last year. I had them go to the playoffs. If you remember, I had them go deep into the playoffs. I like Milwaukee. I do. I don't believe that they're going to be a championship team. I still think, you know, you look at teams at this point, teams that have emptied their tank. I think Milwaukee has emptied their tank. Okay? Look, it's got them in first place. They've emptied their tank. I don't think Boston has. I think Boston still has a lot left. And I think that Toronto, who was my pick before the year to go to the finals, I think Toronto has a lot left in the tank as well. I think we're going to see a different level of Kawhi Leonard when the playoffs come. I think we're going to see a different level of, you know, the Boston Celtics when the playoffs come. This is the time of year where we start to see that next level. I have Toronto up against Boston for the title in the East.
I think you'll see a different level of Kyrie Irving once the playoffs begin.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, that whole team has almost, you know, that next gear, and I'm waiting to see if he could flip. The teams can't always flip it, but I'm waiting to see if they can flip it. Whereas a team like Milwaukee and a team like the Sixers, to me, have been playing their best basketball all year. I don't think they have another gear.
And it seems like the media's job is to create animosity amongst teams, right? To give great stories to write about and something to talk about during the long season that the NBA regular season is. What are your thoughts on Kyrie Irving's future? Does it depend on whether they win the title, Tom, or they get to the finals? Is he looking for an avenue out just like he did it with Cleveland? What's the deal with Kyrie in the offseason?
Kyrie's such a weird dude, man. It's impossible to realize. But I think he's played his way out of Boston. I don't think Boston wants him back. Yeah, I really do. I mean, I think that they obviously think he's a quality player, and they, you know, all of that. But he's just not a Brad Stevens guy. And Boston made a conscious effort long ago to give the keys over to Brad Stevens. We talked about that with UNLV. Boston Celtics gave the keys to Brad Stevens. And they are building this team a certain way. Lots of draft picks. That's what they did. You know, get the talent, build it up. And Kyrie kind of threw a monkey wrench into all this. Not in a bad way, just not what this team is about. It sort of reminds me of Randy Moss in New England, doesn't it? Randy Moss in New England came in. He just wasn't that. He wasn't a player that New England goes after. He wasn't a fit for New England. We all knew he'd succeed there, and they had a great time with him. But we knew it was going to be short-lived. He just wasn't that guy. Kyrie's the same way to me. He's just not a Celtics kind of guy.
Best case scenario, they win the title, Tom, and he drives his bargaining chip up a little bit, and Boston lets him go, and they save the money to go find somebody else.
Well, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. And you think about, why didn't they make more of a push for Kevin Durant? You know, I think they didn't make more of a push for Kevin Durant because they were worried about this, a guy coming in and just not being that kind of guy.
And maybe Kyrie joins Kevin Durant in New York next year.
That I don't see happening, but I've heard the rumors. You know, you think about what it would take to get Kyrie, Durant, and Zion on the same court. You know, I've heard the rumors, but, you know, I think that's more Nick fantasy people than it is reality.
Well, when you've lost so many years, Tom, you kind of just got to look for something to believe in, right?
Well, I think the Knicks have an opportunity, though. I think they certainly do. I mean, they got, you know, worst record in the league. They got a good shot at Zion, and everything that I hear is Kevin Durant's coming. You all of a sudden talk about a super team, right? You have a decent core right now with the Knicks for secondary players when it goes there. You bring in Kyrie, Durant, and Zion, and it's not completely crazy that would happen. And you bring them to New York in an East that is generally wide open, all of a sudden, everything in basketball just flip-flopped, and the East is the power league.
Well, let's talk about something we don't know anything about. Let's talk about hockey.
Well, they're not going to like my take that Tampa Bay is unstoppable and they're going to cruise to a title.
Three games left in the regular season? It ends Saturday,
correct?
Right? Yeah.
Correct, three games.
We'll start local because, obviously, Tom, and, you know, VGK. So with Calgary's win tonight, the Golden Knights will play the Sharks in the first round of the playoffs. I'm assuming it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in that timetable the following week, so 2 weeks away. Look, this, you know, 91 points. They're not going to get 100 this year. We know that. They're on a five-game losing streak right now. Ups and downs this year, Tom, but still they're going to finish in right there, right towards the top of the West. Now it's the playoffs, and San Jose has revenge on their mind from last season, getting knocked out by the Knights in the playoffs. We saw them get a little rough there. Was it Saturday night, Ari, with them on the road? There's a lot more problems in VGK land than people want to lead to believe right now.
They can't win on the road. If you can't win on the road, I don't care what sport it is, I have a hard time believing on you when it comes to the playoffs. And Vegas has been bad, just bad on the road this year. You can look at their record, and I think, what are they, exactly 500, I think, right now?
On the road, yes.
Yeah, okay, so they're exactly 500 on the road. That's not bad, but when you're talking about, you know, an elite team, a team that's talking about, you know, defending a Stanley Cup or going to a Stanley Cup, I mean, that's bad, Tim. That 500 is not going to get it done. They don't have home court advantage or home ice advantage this year. They don't have that. Am I counting them out? Absolutely not. We know in hockey it's all about the goalie. We know how good Fleury could be. Okay. I like what they've done defensively in the second half of the year. I've certainly watched them become a different team. I think they're even a different team than last year. When you consider the style of play, they are playing a almost a playoff style, which lends well to them. I'm not particularly afraid of Calgary or San Jose. I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, they're an unbeatable, you know, force. So you have the shot, but man, that road record scares me. If I'm a fan, I'm sorry, no matter how many Golden Knight, you know, colored glasses you put on, and I know people put a lot of them on, you've got to be nervous about that road record.
Yeah. I agree. Again, because that's what we do. We agree with each other. But the addition of Mark Stone made this team a lot better, in my opinion, than they were last year. Just that acquisition itself at this point, you want to compare last year to this year, and people think I'm crazy by saying that because of the year they had. But Mark Stone made that team better not only this year, but for the future. The problem is, Tom, because of how well everything went last year, those rose-colored glasses you talk about, it did a disservice to the fan base, basically, because the expectations were so high. And now you're watching a franchise going through the ups and downs of an NHL season. Obviously, Tampa is an exception this year to the rule with the way that they've played. 59 and 15, 122 points. But everybody else, the Golden Knights kind of fall into place with where most of the top, I'd say, you know, top playoff teams are, the top 16 teams. They kind of are just in there with everybody. And that's what makes professional sports so hard, is that what happened last year, you cannot expect that to happen. And even though you tell yourself that, you just don't get accustomed to losing. And whenever this team has gone on a losing streak this year, the haters come out, and the haters are the same gravy trainers that jump on the bandwagon when the team is doing well. So that's what being a professional sports fan is, Las Vegas. And, you know, they may very well rerun the table here, Tom. They may make it back to the Cup because I think the team is better. It's just there's a lot more potholes in the way.
Well, here's also the idea that we also have to look at. Most of these top teams that we're looking at, okay, the Winnipegs, the Calgarys, right, they have a 1-2 punch when you're talking about, you know, scoring. And they just don't. I mean, whether it be Wheeler or Gourdeau, they have a 1-2 punch. It's not only one guy, you know. It's not like just McDavid's going out. It's a 1-2. I don't think Vegas has that. And, you know, they certainly, you could throw two names and stick them to the board here, Tim, but they don't have two names that are better than those top teams. So let's now get into playoff mindset and not look at the rest of the league and say, does Vegas have a 1-2 punch that can, you know, compete with the top teams? And the answer is flat out no. So Fleury, yeah, he'll be fine. He can compete with any goalie in the league, basically. But that 1-2 scoring punch that some of these teams can produce, especially Winnipeg and Calgary, they're just not up to the level. I mean, even Nashville.
Yeah, they've last year, I think they scored 272 goals. They're not going to get close to that this year. Calgary's 280. San Jose is going to be over 280. Winnipeg's going to be over probably 270. So the scoring is down. Carlson, your 40-goal scorer last year, has, what, 24, 25 this year? So guess what? That's the NHL, and things are meant to be what they're meant to be over a period of time. So with that being said, Tom, you have Tampa running away with the regular season, and we've seen how that's worked out in years past, especially with me being a Caps fan. Winning the regular season doesn't mean as much sometimes in the playoffs, but guess what, Tommy? My Caps are right there in the hunt again for winning not only the division, but being a factor in the playoffs. And then their former coach in Barry Trotz has a team that you're now become familiar with, or at least on the map, looking at them this year, is the Islanders right behind them.
The Islanders are the best story in the NHL this year by far. And what the Islanders do is play just unbelievable defense. But I hate to say it. Look, you know, they're on my hometown station. They literally follow me every time they have a game. You know, I lead into the pregame, my show out here, and they just don't have the offense. You know, I think that this has become more of an offensive league where you need a scorer or two. They don't have it. They have good goaltending, not great. Good, solid goaltending. Tremendous defense. I mean, absolutely tremendous defense. Fantastic coaching. But they're just not going to have the scoring to go up. And you look at the East, which is so much better than the West this year. I mean, you could make an argument right now that top four teams in the hockey, maybe the top five teams in hockey, are all from the East. You have Tampa Bay, which is an obvious. Boston is on fire. Pittsburgh has been, who's been hotter than Pittsburgh right now? The Maple Leafs are really, really dangerous. So there's a collection in the East. I think Tampa Bay is just so much better than everybody else. This is one of those years. I know hockey guys, well, anything can happen. You're right, anything can happen. I get it. But I said it before the year. I picked on the futures play. I wasn't getting anything. I got 5-1 odds on a future on Tampa Bay. I gave Tampa Bay. I'm sticking with them. They are just, to me, so much better than everybody else. Boston is really good. I can't see them taking a 7-game series. Pittsburgh is really hot. I can't see them taking a 7-game series. The Leafs are really good. Can't see them taking a 7-game series. You know, to me, it is Tampa Bay and everyone else. You take Tampa Bay out of the equation, you know, Pittsburgh and Boston are probably the two hottest teams right now that everybody, you know, should be keeping an eye on. But against the Tampa Bay, I think it's going to be short work. I don't think Tampa Bay is even pressed until deep into the playoffs.
And I think Tampa has a little motivation after the way Washington kind of came up and bit them in the ass in that Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, well, Washington has their number. It's funny because, you know, Washington beat them a couple weeks ago as well. Washington sort of has their number. You said it, Washington coming up now all of a sudden. I just think it's so difficult, Tim, in any sport to repeat. I've watched the holes in Washington, and a lot of their run now, a lot of their, oh, my God, we turned it around, a lot of it came against garbage teams. You know, a lot of what Washington did was clean up on the teams that they should have been cleaning up on. They beat the Rangers a couple of times, you know. Well, yeah, they should have. You know, and you look at the strength of schedule that Washington had when they did their surge was against pretty bad teams. They do have Tampa Bay's number, though. I mean, even this year. So that is there's hope, but you gotta still get by Boston and Pittsburgh, who I think are actually playing at a level that is above you right now.
And how about the story in Toronto? We talked about it at length when John Tavares left the Islanders and went to Tampa or Toronto, his hometown team. Growing up as a kid, the team he cheered for had the Maple Leaf bed cover on his bed. 45 goals, Tom. He's going to finish probably right around 90 points. A pretty good pickup for Toronto there, and they have a lot. Like you said, they're going to have that playoff atmosphere, especially with Toronto and Montreal being in that same divisional playoff round with Boston and Tampa. That it's absolutely nuts. The playoffs are going to be like. I think you're right. The East, by far, stronger division or conference. Excuse me.
I'll tell you, the biggest bet that I've ever made on a hockey game in my life was when Tavares came back to Long Island to play against the Islanders. I took the Islanders, and they were not even a big favorite. The people were insane. If you've never been, and I am not an Islander fan, let me repeat that. If you've ever been to the Nassau Coliseum during an Islander game, it is one of the craziest, ridiculous atmospheres. He comes back tomorrow night, and I didn't make a bet on the Islanders. I think a lot of the emotion is kind of subsided because, hey, you left us, but we're in the playoffs. You know, I still expect the building to be crazy, but it is interesting. You bring him up and you bring the Islanders up, and they play tomorrow.
Foreshadowing, Tom. You know me.
I would love if they met in the playoffs. It's just not going to happen.
final segment on the way. Major League Baseball. Well, for real, as the games count, week one in the books. We'll get Tom's thoughts on action involving in the first series, including, Tom, my Orioles taking 2 of 3 from your Yanks. We'll get your thoughts on that on the other side of the timeout. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Major League Baseball week one in the books. And we're going to break down our some quick thoughts for you here as we head into some different matchups. Tom, the first series are over. And right now I have bragging rights over you. My O's take 2 of 3 from your Yanks.
It's kind of funny. Somebody said, what is your prediction? I said, I think that the Yankees win the World Series, which I gave here. I think the Yankees win 100 games. I said, I think they probably start the season like 10-10. Mm-hmm. I really did. It just seems every year that it doesn't matter the team, the generation. I mean, it started in 98, which the greatest baseball team any of us have ever seen. They started out slow. They always just seem to come out of the box slow. And for some reason, now 2 years running, the Yankees can't beat the Orioles. I just did the sports update. I do the sports update, tonight for tomorrow morning for all the local stations out here. And I just did the sports update. And the Orioles have won now 7 of the last 12 at the stadium. They just have their number. Different coach, different players. It just doesn't matter. I think that the Yankees, come in now. I think they bludgeon Detroit, over the next couple of days. I think we'll forget about this, and it's early in the season. Seattle's 5-1, Baltimore and Seattle in first place. I mean, can we get real? But for the Baltimore Orioles, it's a nice win moving forward to start the season.
If you bet the over, it was only 47 wins on the season, Tom. You know,
I did. Yeah. I told you I took. Yeah.
What's even funnier was they're 2-1, and scored a run less than they gave. They gave up one more run than they scored in the series, which, that'll be a hard stat to continue, but I found that funny. What about Tampa Bay in that division? They took 3 of 4 from the Astros and only gave up 9 runs in the series, and Snell gave up the majority of those in his first start.
Well, there's a reason I took them to finish ahead of Boston, and don't think I didn't hear from you Boston fans out there. I think Tampa Bay is absolutely for real. This kid Austin Meadows got off to a good start. Let's not forget when he was with Pittsburgh. I had heard he was the second coming of Andrew McCutchen, They have amassed massive amounts of talent, and they are just relying upon tremendous coaching. And if that's the Tampa Bay philosophy, I know enough about Tampa Bay where that's a good philosophy.
And those so-called Boston fans you talked about, Tom, 1-3 in the series against Seattle, they gave up 34 runs.
That's tough. I mean, that's tough to accept because the one problem that we knew about Boston was their bullpen, and now it's being a taxed bullpen. It even more so, you get to start to be a little bit nervous in Boston. It's very early. It might mean nothing, just like the Yankees might mean nothing to Baltimore. The Yankees have reinforcements coming. The Yankees ace is Severino, hasn't started yet. Yankees starting center fielder is Aaron Hicks, hasn't started yet. The Yankees number one bullpen guy, eighth inning guy is Betances, hasn't played a game yet. The Red Sox don't have reinforcements coming, and their big problem is their bullpen, which has looked really bad here.
How about the debut of Bryce Harper in Philly? They sweep the Braves 3-0 right now. Harper did get his first dong on Saturday after he had an offer on his opening day, but the Bryce Harper era has begun in Philly.
They booed him.
Yeah,
they booed him day one of a 13-year career. Welcome to Philly. There might have been a reason. And then the best thing is that Philly fans are writing and calling and telling me, he wasn't really booed. And now there's like a whole debate down in Philly I know WIP was doing some stuff down on it, and my friends from Atlantic City called me up, you know, sending me clips about people calling, well, I heard some booing, and I didn't. It's the boo that wasn't the boo. All of a sudden, he hits a home run to win it, and now they really weren't booing in opening day.
And then he hit another one today, and he's the next Mike Schmidt.
Oh, yeah, that's it. It's all over now. You know, we never booed him. We have no idea what you're talking about. He's the greatest of all time, but if you don't deliver a World Series, we'll boo you again next year.
Of course. Milwaukee, 3-1. Tom, they looked, you know, here's the thing. We know that they're going to be able to score runs. What I saw out of those three wins and one loss was they also are going to have a tendency to give up runs.
Bad starting pitching, and the Corey Knubel news, the Jeremy Jeffrey news is really, it's rough. I mean, you can't lose those two guys if you are a team that's just this good, you know, relying upon what is your strength. Josh Hader, though, unbelievable. You know, he's thrown 30 fastballs this year. 30 fastballs, okay? Two of them have gone for balls. Two of them have been hit foul. The other 26 have been swing and misses. I mean, that is just unbelievable. He's so good.
Get deep in the season, Tom, and it brings back memories of a vintage Chapman, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, you know, if they don't burn him out. I mean, you know, we've seen that happen. We've seen especially a little bit of pressure in Milwaukee this year. You can't just fall off the table, and now you got a weakened bullpen. That's not good.
And I think in that division especially, the chance of burnout will be a lot stronger than it would have been thinking back to the Yankee days when they pretty much had division wrapped up by, what, late August.
Yeah, and that's exactly the problem, is that when you look at, you know, Chicago's not going anywhere. I think Cincinnati's going to be better. St. Louis isn't going anywhere. Hell, even Pittsburgh might be okay this year. You know, that's a division where you can't go through, you know, and say, okay, we're just going to rest this guy, especially if he's your key guy.
Out west, the Padres take 3 of 4 from the Giants. Tom, a nice homestand there to open up the year. And then the pitching, and I think this may be a lot said about what the Giant offense is going to look like, but Padres give up 5 runs in 4 games.
Remember preseason, I said Chris Paddock is going to be a massive part of this team. And I said, I don't even know if he's going to make the opening day roster. Yeah, this team is so loaded with talent. The Padres are massively loaded with talent. I liked the Padres before they got Manny Machado. So, yeah, I believe in it. But I also believe that San Francisco is just a doormat. I don't see anything good coming out of that team. I really don't. I mean, you know, even Bumgarner didn't look good. Steven Duggar is maybe the lone sort of bright spot, and he's like an LED bulb, right? I mean, San Francisco is just going to be a bad team this year.
And I think the same can be said for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Tom, how about this? Just for fun, I threw a 20 spot today on the Orioles and the Diamondbacks on a parlay, right? I was getting well over plus 200 on both teams. Bundy, 280, just to do it. Diamondbacks give up 3 in the 8th to lose a game for me and the parlay. That's how bad they are this year. Their pitching staff is terrible. And the Dodgers scored 42 runs in that 4-game series.
Well, I got Cody Bellinger on one of my fantasy teams, and I'm loving him. Dodgers will have no problem scoring runs. I just worry about, you know, getting deep into the season. I still think that bullpen is got some holes in it, and I worry about the effectiveness of the starting pitching. The good thing with getting off to a fast start for the Dodgers like this, get off to this kind of fast start, they don't have to rush back Kershaw. You know, they could let him sit, they could let him relax, they could, you know, just say, okay, it is what it is. Yeah, Arizona's going to be bad this year. I don't think this bullpen is that bad, because Toronto is a pretty good player. You know, they have some good pieces. I'm surprised they performed so bad at the end of last year. I'm surprised they got off to a rough start this year.
Bundy plus 280, Tom.
Yeah, that's a gutsy call.
It was a throwaway parlay. There was no way in hell I would bet that game straight. Sometimes, you know how it is. Sometimes you just have fun. But what?
Oh, boy. Oh, after all these years.
I know you hate to hear that. The only thing worse that you hate to hear than parlay is teaser.
Oh, yeah. It teases you, you might win money from the books.
We saw another, looks like an extension be signed tomorrow, but we're seeing, as we talked about last week, teams extending out their stars, Tom. 7-132 there for the boy in Boston.
Yeah, Xander Bogaerts, he's a good player. I think he's massively overpaid here. Look, he's a good player. A good player. But they have to, it's not that he doesn't deserve the money. It's that they now have set the number, and they have to still go pay Mookie Betts, which means to me J.D. Martinez is out of town. And I think he's the best hitter on the team. I think he might be the best player on the team. He's coming off the best season on the team, right? Chris Sale's a free agent in, is it 2 years? A year or two?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to pay Chris Sale again. They just didn't go out and sign Kimball because they're worried about money. So they're locking up guys like Xander Bogaerts. What is Betts going to ask for? $300 million, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you're going to have almost $500 million locked up in Betts and Bogaerts. Seems like a decent option now. Where does that go in 5 years, Tim? Does that restrict Boston, or do they have an unlimited wallet?
I would assume they're more unlimited than some teams, but still, at some point, you have to say how much is enough.
Yeah, listen, one of the big reasons that I try to explain this to everybody, why the Yankees did not sign Machado. By the way, that was one of the bombshells that we got told to us, why the Yankees didn't sign Machado this week. I could get into that in a minute, but one of the reasons why the Yankees didn't sign Machado and Harper was because they know we're gonna have to give Judge a 10-year deal, right? 10-year, $300 million deal. It's coming. We got to sign Severino. We've got to sign, these guys. Torres and Andujar are eventually going to come. I mean, you have to think long term. Mookie Betts is going to be having his hand out tomorrow. Oh, you're throwing out, what was it, $170 million that Bogaerts got?
Yeah.
Mookie Betts is going to go, where's my $300?
And he's going to say, he's not in free agent year. You extended him. It's time to extend me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I like the fact that you locked this guy out, but he's not a superstar. And now I worry about, when will Boston kind of pull it back? Everybody thought the Dodgers wouldn't pull it back, and they've had to get creative here to kind of pull it back a little. Everyone thought the Yankees weren't going to pull it back. Yankees didn't get Machado and Harper. They had to pull it back a little bit. So I wonder if after the Red Sox signed Betts, are they going to have to pull it back? Is Chris Sale a part of this team in 2 years? I'm not sure.
Hey, keeps pitching like he did opening night. It's not going to be, Tom.
Yeah, well.
what do you look at for the first week? Obviously Goldschmidt, tremendous series. You had a Cy Young matchup opening day with Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. Charlie Morton beat his old mates there from the Astros. Took a decision from Garrett Cole 2 days later. Harper, obviously, Machado debuting in new uniforms. A lot going on in the opening week. Anything stand out to you?
How about Trey Turner, who is my National League long shot MVP? Four steals so far in three games. Three games, four steals, two home runs, four runs scored, five RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good across the board production, right? Especially if you're a fantasy guy that has him. That's really big. And you're one of the guys, obviously, I'm a Yankee fan, okay? One of the guys I'm going to be watching here early in the season is Giancarlo. I wanted to see him get off to a really hot start. There are certain guys. Cody Bellinger is another guy that needed to get off to a hot start. Certainly, a Bellinger jumps off the page at me of what his potential could be if he gets off to a hot start. There are just some players that you just go, wow, they got to get off. But how about this? How about the Cleveland Indians not being able to score?
Yeah, five runs.
I know Lindor is a big part of that team, but Ramirez is an MVP candidate. That's a team that Kluber didn't look great. Carrasco got beat around today. That's a team that with a bad bullpen, I mean, we all just said Cleveland's going to win that division by 10 by default, and they might. But I'd have serious worries if I was Cleveland long-term, because Cleveland's not looking to just win the division. Cleveland's looking for the playoffs. They don't look good, man.
I love the fresh when the season comes out and you can kind of start your rotations and you know what's coming at you. And I mentioned DeGrom, Scherzer's opening day. It doesn't get better than that, you know. You had Snell, Verlander opening day. How about this next week, Tommy? It might be a little overlooked because of the teams, but Tuesday night in Tampa, Kyle Freeland and Blake Snell. That's a good pitching matchup.
That's a very good one. I already made money on Freeland this year. He's opening day starter. I took him.
Aaron Nola off to a Cy Young season there, Tommy, with a great first start and opening night for Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, Philly's going to be good. This is a statement series for Philly, that's for sure.
I don't know if you saw this. It came out of Friday night, but another paying customer with a, I'm gonna just say it's a lack of security, but a gentleman is in the hospital on life support, Tom, with a fractured skull at Dodger Stadium again, the second time now in the last, 8 years. This is what keeps fans away from the game, things like this, and you think you learn your lesson with what happened with the Giants fan in 2011, but it happened again, and supposedly the Dodgers increased security outside the stadium after that had happened. You know, I know things can happen, Tom, right? Especially in professional sports with alcohol and just adrenaline and guys that testosterone built up. But it seems to me that this happens a little more frequently than it should, especially around the city of LA. And this is what's a black eye to the sport. If you know this is possible and there's just security issues, you can't have people basically going out to have a fun time that they're going to end up dying because you can't properly secure your area.
Yeah, and we don't see it happening many other places. I mean, listen, you know, I'm from New York. I was there when, Wally Joyner was getting, batteries thrown at his head. I was at the game nights after that where that was happening. What do they do? They crack down, and you just don't see it happening anywhere else. This is on the Dodgers organization. You've got to crack down.
Tom, I know you had said you had some news about Sports Garden. I'll give you a few extra minutes here to tell us what's going on. Monday through Friday, you're on the air, 2 o'clock here Pacific time. Talk about the show, but better yet, tell us what's going on with the Sports Garden Network.
Yeah, we have absolutely huge news. By the way, tomorrow night, I just alluded to it, tomorrow night we're going to replay the interview with Bob Klapisch and Paul Solotoff, who just wrote the number one bestseller in the country right now on the Yankee Empire. And they dropped some bombs about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper that nobody else in the country got, but I did. So that will be on tomorrow night. But SportsGarden.com, Sports Garden Network, you just have to start introducing Tom Barton now as a nationally syndicated radio host. We got picked up nationally. The entire network has been picked up. I want to thank Envision Networks, Sun Broadcasting, and New Gen Media. It's a three organization deal that picked us up. We are going to be in the 30 of the top 100 stations within the first year, and this is this is huge news for. Look, I've been with you for 10 years now, Tim. You know, this is only going to lead to bigger and better things for us in the future. But I am officially a nationally syndicated radio host as of tomorrow morning.
Congrats, man. It couldn't happen to a better person, and all your hard work I can see is paying off for you. I also know of a guy that supposedly is going to be syndicated.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you this. I wish anybody luck because I have a business partner I got to give a lot of credit to, Gary Policosta, because he took care of the business side of this. We've been in this negotiation with about three companies that approached us for months and months, and it was so difficult to find the right fit with Envision Networks. They understood what we did. We have people that are working for Gen Media that work for WFAN. They work for some Cleveland radio stations. So we got some sports radio stations. It is a hard fit to sit back and get these kind of deals and these kind of contracts. But I wish anybody luck out there who goes for national syndication. It is definitely a lot more difficult than it sounds. Nobody walks in and says, here, sign this, and you're going to be good. No, it's lawyers and problems and issues and writing and lots of headaches. But once you get it done, from here on out, now we take our vision and we move it forward.
And with that being said, also with TomBartonSports.com. The baseball season underway. 1-0 Pittsburgh today for us over at TBS.
Yeah, 3-0 on the season in Major League Baseball. The best hockey handicapper in America right now. I'm hitting 80% during March Madness. Guys, everything is absolutely rolling. There's nobody hotter in the country right now than TomBartonSports.com. I talk about it sometimes when I'm having a, you know, a little bit of a tough time. I'll tell you guys that right now, the last about 60 days, I have been absolutely red hot. And 8 of the last 10 years, my best sport has been Major League Baseball. So you want to sign up now at TomBartonSports.com.
And we are a week away from saying that Virginia, futures winner as well.
Oh, that would be so nice. Having 4 futures winners in 6 years would just be otherworldly, that's for sure.
The best in the business, my friend.
Thank you very much, guys. Can't wait to talk to you next Sunday.
Next Sunday night. Tom, have a great week. Congratulations again, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
Tom Barton, nationally syndicated radio host, now effective, well, you'll hear him, 2 o'clock over on the Sports Garden Network, sportsgardennetwork.com. My partner, Tom Barton, congrats to him. We are back at it next Sunday night right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, 10 o'clock. Ari and I will be with you along with Tom as we move into the national title game and give you our thoughts on what's going to happen in 8 days' time. Until then, have a great sports week. We will talk to you then. Heatwave Sports, only on Fox Sports Radio. Good night.